By human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together form the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night. Please repeat after me. By human calculation,
by human
calculation,
1,000 ages taken together,
1,000 ages, taken together,
form the duration of Brahma's one day.
Form the duration,
of Brahma's one day.
And such also,
is
the duration of his night.
Is the duration,
of his night.
All right, so I'll read the purport, and then also there's the next verse, which does not have a purport. We'll read that also together. If everybody could please mute themselves. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. The duration of the material universe is limited. It is manifested in cycles of kalpas. A kalpa is a day of Brahma, and one day of Brahma consists of 1,000 cycles of the four yugas or ages, Satya, Treta, Dvarpa, and Kali. The cycle of Satya is characterized by virtue, wisdom, and religion, there being practically no ignorance and vice. And the yuga lasts 1,328,000 years. In the Treta Yuga, vice is introduced, and this yuga lasts 1,296,000 years. In the Dvapara Yuga, there is an even greater decline in virtue and religion, vice increasing, and this age lasts 864,000 years. And finally, in Kali Yuga, the yuga we have now been experiencing over the past 5,000 years, there is an abundance of strife, ignorance, irreligion, and vice. Irreligion and vice, true virtue being practically non-existent, and this yuga lasts 432,000 years. In Kali Yuga, vice increases to such a point that the termination of the yuga, the Supreme Lord himself appears as a Kalki avatar, vanquishes the demons, saves his devotees, and commences another Satya Yuga. Then the process is set rolling again. These four yugas rotating 1,000 times comprise one day of Brahma, and the same number comprise of one night. Brahma lives 100 of such years and then dies. These 100 years, by earth calculations, total to 311 trillion and 40 billion earth years. By these calculations, the life of Brahma seems fantastic and interminable. I hope I said that right. Interminable. But from the viewpoint of eternity, it is as brief as a lightning flash. In the causal ocean, there are innumerable Brahmas rising and disappearing like bubbles in the Atlantic. Brahma and his creation are all part of the material universe, and therefore they are in constant flux. In the material universe, not even Brahma is free from the process of birth, old age, disease, and death. Brahma, however, is directly engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord and the management of this universe. Therefore, he at once attains liberation. Elevated sannyasis are promoted to Brahma's particular planet, Brahmaloka, which is the highest planet in the material universe and which survives all the heavenly planets in the upper strata of the planetary system. But in due course, Brahma and all the inhabitants of Brahmaloka are subject to death according to the law of material nature. So, we are going to read the next verse, which has no purport. So, this is text 18. Avyakta vyaktaya sarva prabhavantya hur agame ratyang. No, see, rat. Re, how do you say this? Rat re ragame paliyante tatraya vavyakta sang Gyate. Translation. At the beginning of Brahma's day, all living entities become manifest from the unmanifest state, and thereafter, when the night falls, they are merged into the unmanifest again. Om Agnati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militang Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, in these two verses of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is delineating the duration of life of the different yukas, and specifically giving us a comparison of what it's like compared to Brahmaloka, compared to our small duration of life. In the beginning of this chapter, Krishna is addressing questions that Arjuna gave at the end of the previous chapter, and one of them was, what is this material nature? So he's answering something about this material nature, and by contrast, what is the spiritual world? So we will find out about that transcendental realm in a little bit more detail. But for now, we're seeing how limited this material world is, even in respect to such fantastic durations of life of Lord Brahma. This is a fantastic description here that he uses this word. By these calculations, the life of Brahma seems fantastic and interminable, but from the viewpoint of eternity, it is as brief as a lightning flash. This morning, when I was doing my japa walk, I saw a flash of light, but it happened so fast, I just couldn't catch it. So, wow, what was that? And then it happened once or twice more, and I figured out that was lightning way off the distance to the south. So a flash of lightning is so fast that sometimes, unless you're looking right at it, it goes by so fast you don't even see it. That is what our lifetime is like. Even if we have a lifetime of 311 trillion years, from the viewpoint of eternity, it's like a lightning flash, and it will be the same for us. We have a certain fixed amount of years that we need to live. And in this age, more or less, it's 100 years. As the Kali Yuga progresses, maybe everybody could make sure that they're muted. I'm going to mute everybody on free conferencing, okay?
That's from Bangladesh.
Are you sure?
Yes, I just saw it.
Okay, if everybody could please make sure they're muted. So the duration of Lord Brahma is the duration of the universe, because actually the universe is Lord Brahma's body. And he would be the soul of the universe, just as we are the soul of this body, which is our universe. So the universe that we're living in, we're actually living in Brahma's body. So when the universe is destroyed, Brahma, he loses his body. So Brahma's lifetime is 311 trillion, 40 billion years. So even though that's a fantastic amount of time, it's actually like a lightning flash. I'm in my mid-50s. We have other devotees in their 60s, sometimes even older. We can say, now that we're getting close at the end of our lives, we look back, I think everyone will agree that our lifetime was really like a lightning flash. It went by so fast. And you will find that even for the inhabitants of the heavenly planet, even up to Lord Brahma, because we are eternal. Time is relative, as everything is in this material world. The spirit soul wants to be eternal. He does not want to be subjected to change. So no matter how long the duration of life, if it's temporary, it's still like a lightning flash, and we will never be satisfied with it. Just like in this world, people want to acquire wealth, prestige. They want a permanent situation. They want to know what's going on, but they can never be satisfied. That's why people, that are rich, it's never enough. They want more and more and more. We will never be satisfied by riches, by fame, by anything in this material world. by a duration of life, it will all appear to be not at all enough. What? That's because we are hankering for our original nature, which is Sat Chit Ananda. Sat means eternity. Chit means all knowledge, knowing really what's going on, not being bewildered, and Ananda means happiness. So as long as we're in this material world, we cannot be satisfied with anything less than Sat Chit Ananda. That's why we're always looking for these things and coming up short. So no matter how much our duration of life is, however long it is in this material world, being relative, it is simply like a flash of lightning in the sky, because we are eternal. And nothing but eternity in the spiritual world will satisfy us. That's the point, I think, that we can get from this verse. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, someplace, where we read recently, because on Sundays within this group, it's in 11th canto, there was the first couple of chapters back where it was stating the different types of consciousness. There's awakened consciousness, then there's sleeping, and then there's deep sleeping. So, Hare Krishna Prabhu. So, these different states, I think there's Jagrata, Svapna, I don't remember the Sanskrit. Anyway, there's different states of consciousness. What is it? Susupti is what? Is that deep sleep?
Yeah.
Okay, so Susupti is deep sleep, Svapna is dreaming, and Jagrata is awake?
Yeah.
Okay, so different stages of consciousness. But any of those stages of consciousness in the material world, they actually are different stages of sleep. Because we're covered by the false ego, accepting things that are not as real. So only when we attain the fourth stage, which is called Turiya, when we awaken our original consciousness, that's when we will attain real perception. Our perception is skewed within this material world. Therefore, our perception of time is also skewed, because our consciousness is governed by these three different stages. So it's all relative. You know, there's the lifetime of Lord Brahma, when he looks down at us, with such a infinitesimally small duration of life, then we appear to be just like little germs, you know, existing just for a moment and going out of existence. And for us, when we look at a little germ or an insect or something that has a very, very small duration of life, maybe even for a few minutes or hours or even less, then we think their life is very, very small. But to them, they're living their life. You know, they're eating, sleeping, mating, defending in their own way. Similarly, we're doing the same thing. So whether we're an Indragopa germ or we're the Indra in the heavenly planets, all of us are subjected to the same laws, and our consciousness is therefore skewed. So only by coming to the stage of Turiya, pure consciousness, will we be able to actually perceive what is what, strictly speaking. I also wanted to mention about the different yugas. You know, there is a little bit complicated calculations here. You know, so Kali Yuga is 432 is a little easier to remember. So 432,000 years, basically you double that, and then the next yuga, Dwapara Yuga, is 864,000 years. And then you add another 432 to that, and it becomes, you know, about 1,300, or, you know, 1.3 million. And then you add another 400,000 to that, and it's about 1.7 million years. So you put that all together, and it's about 3.2 million years. So the reason why it's a little complicated like that is for two things. One is that we're calculating it according to our Earth years, and actually it's easier to understand and calculate it according to the celestial years, the years of the demigods, like in the Chandravoka. Their 1 day is equal to our half of a month, and then their night is equal to another half of the month. So one of their days is equal to entire 30 days for us. So in the heavenly planets, if I remember this correctly, like in Indraloka, one of their days is equal to one of our years. So actually, these calculations are based on the celestial planets. So 1,000 of their years, or 1,000 of their years, is equal to 432,000 of our years. And then the Dwarpa Yuga, 2,000 of their years is equal to that 864,000, et cetera, till you get to the Satyuga, which is just like 4,000 of the celestial years. And then on top of that, there's also the durations of times between the yugas. What's that called? The junctions? What's it called? Junction called in Sanskrit? Whatever. Sandhya. So there's a sandhya at the end of the yuga and the beginning of the next yuga. So for that sandhya, it lasts for basically 100 celestial years. So you add that 1,000 and then another 100 to the Kali Yuga, and then it comes out to be 432,000. Similarly, the Dwarpa Yuga is 1,000 celestial years plus, 2,000 celestial years plus another 200 of their celestial years, and that comes out to be 864,000 years, etc. Anyway, that's how it's calculated. Whatever. Anyway, long, long, long time to create even one day of Brahma. But still, with such a fantastic, interminable, seemingly duration of life, still it's not enough for the eternal spirit soul. So we need to get out of this atmosphere. Unfortunately, our consciousness is in contact with material nature. It's impure, and as long as we're trying to satisfy it with material things, it's just like burning fire. As long as we're adding fuel to it, it continues to burn. We take the fuel away, then eventually it'll die out. That's actually how they fight fires, you know? They isolate an area, and then they make a fire break, and then the thing burn out, so it doesn't have any more fuel. That's how you subdue a forest fire. So if we want to subdue the forest fire of this material world, forest fire of samsara, then we have to let it burn out instead of feeding it all the time. Okay, so it is now 6:23. We officially have 8 minutes to discuss anything you would like to bring up. Further points about these two verses, I'll just read the translation one more time. By human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together form the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night. At the beginning of Brahma's day, all living entities become manifest, and from the unmanifest stage, and thereafter when the night falls, they are merged into the unmanifest again. They all go to sleep for a while, for millions of years. Okay, so Prabhus, thank you very much for your kind attention, your association. If anybody has anything that they would like to add, that happens here.
Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I have two comments. One is that also the lifespan on this planet is counted on breaths, not only years, and that's why some of the yogis that learn how to hold their breath, they live for thousands of years.
Mm. Yeah.
And they actually did a study in Europe where people have been jogging for a lot longer than the U.S., and they found that joggers die a lot younger than people that didn't jog because they use their breath, you know, the people that exercise a lot, breathe a lot faster. And my question is, Lord Brahma's day and night are identical, the length of time, so his planet must not have, like, seasons, because usually during the seasons that they get shorter or longer, that, you know, what I mean?
No. Can you...
Here on our planet, are they longer and shorter?
Right.
But it seems like this calculation is exactly the same length.
Oh, I see.
So I wonder, maybe there's no seasons or is that just they use those numbers just for example, maybe, or?
No, I don't think so. My guess would be that on Brahmaloka, everything is practically perfect compared to us. Here we have, things are a little bit skewed and messed up and, you know, other things we have to deal with, but everything there is exact. So they don't have to deal with different things like, you know, the days sometimes shorter, sometimes longer. Probably it's not, you know, just like in the Kali Yuga, if I can give an example, what I understand of this is the Kali Yuga, we're supposed to have 100 years duration of life. And some people live a little bit longer. Most people live a lot shorter, but generally it's 100 years. But for Lord Brahma, it's exact. You know, he lives 100 years. You know, you can calculate. You can set your clock, your atomic clock to it, because his body is so perfect. So things might be a little bit skewed here. You know, kind of, we don't, you know, things are a little messed up. But I think on Brahma's planet, things aren't. So he doesn't have to deal with the sun, you know, making the day shorter or longer. That's mm-hmm. my guess.
Yeah. And also on a bigger scope, like Brahma's life, 100 years might seem long, but on a bigger scope, it's just one breath of Vishnu, right?
Yeah, that's right. Like foams in the Atlantic.
Yeah. So that just shows how relative time is.
That we were just reading last week from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where there is a description about all the Brahmins. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking to Sanatana Goswami about the Manvantaras, because he said you can't calculate how many Manvantaras are. I think altogether in a day of Brahma, there's 5,000 something Manvantaras, and he lives for 100 years. So if you calculate what that was, and then every universe has their own Brahma with Manvantaras, and they all are manifested simultaneously. So there is also a description. It's just like bubbles. You just can't calculate it.
I have one last question. So Brahma goes to sleep, or actually, or he just in his nighttime, I wonder.
Oh, that's an interesting question.
I mean, why would he need 12 hours of sleep?
Although I tell you, I think I have seen it where it says he actually does go to sleep. You know, whether he goes to sleep right when it gets darker, I don't know. But I think it does say that he sleeps. It's not just like we sleep during his night, but he also sleeps. I think so. Probably it's like a mystic slumber or something.
Some kind of yoga nidra.
Yeah, I guess. Because we merge into the body of Brahma, as far as I remember. I haven't read it in so long, but you know, there's a scripture.
There's
the second canto.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, sorry, my memory just fails me.
The mysteries of the universe.
But I'll bet you that he actually does sleep. I know I've seen that someplace. So anyway. Whatever he does, it's a vast duration of life, vast duration of time. Okay, well, if there is nothing else.
There's something else from Ananda Prabhu.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, Hare Krishna, would you say that, would it be your understanding that these yugas with their characteristics, right, like the Satyuga characterized by virtue and the Kali Yuga by vice, would this apply to all the planets, say the higher planets as well? Is it even difficult for me to understand how also the Yugas can actually be experienced in the other planets, apart from their characteristics? Could you give me some
explanation? Yeah, because we always hear how it affects us on the earthly planets, so how about the higher planetary systems? I mean, certainly they're calculated according to the higher planetary systems, So I can also guess, especially because I have never heard, you know, what's going on up there. But I would guess you would think that it's got something going on up there, you know, with the corresponding to the yugas down here. But I don't know. I haven't seen that anywhere, come across it. So what's going on up there? I don't know. Because it's definitely calculated, you know, like 1,000 celestial years, Kali Yuga, 2,000 celestial years of birth for you. So something must be, have a corresponding effect. But I can imagine it's not like what we experience down here. It's probably just very, very slight. You know, some minor inconvenience, I guess. Who knows? So, good question, but I don't know how to answer
it. It would also seem that in the heavenly planets, time goes by faster, and in the hellish planets, it seems to go a lot slower.
Yeah. That part of the relative perception of time. Yeah, very good point. Yeah, when you're enjoying something, it goes by so fast, and when you're suffering, it takes forever. I remember when I was got in that swimming accident, and they were driving me in the ambulance. Man, I tell you, it felt like hours. I just couldn't believe how long it was taking. So yeah, when you're suffering, it definitely time seems to really drag out.
Thank you. I'm in a problem.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay, so I guess we'll see. Oh, here's one last comment. By the way, has anybody taken a look at Srinandanandana, Stephen Knapp's little article that he wrote on the calculation of the yugas? It's online, really easy to find. Something like Calculation of the Yugas for Stephen Knapp. It's a really good little article. I liked it. And he nicely explains the calculations.
Is the link there on it's going Hawaii or?
No, I don't have it. But I looked it up really easy. You just do a search. It's well worth reading. I don't like a whole lot of stuff that he does, but this was really good, I thought. He quotes from the Mahabharata, different Puranas, and puts it all together easy to understand. Anyway, thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
See everybody tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Prabhupada.
Jai. Prabhupada. Jai. Hare Krishna.